Hey everybody, John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record to and from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. This week we're getting all into Kami. If you've never played with Kami before, we're talking about all the ins and outs and how it works and its applications for all different content areas, regardless of the age of your students, K through 12. But before I get into Kami, a real quick note about how these podcasts work. Each week we record about 10 minutes of conversation, designed to be sort of the start of a dialogue back and forth. As an instructional coach, I get a chance to be in a lot of classrooms and to see a lot of great stuff. I go to a lot of conferences, I read a lot of books, and so I have a chance to sort of fill up the sponge with all sorts of information. I use this as sort of a brain dump, as an auditory version of a blog, to give information back to the learning community that I borrow so much from, and then to strike up conversation on Twitter afterwards about the type of things that we're using in these classrooms, things you're using in your classroom that might relate to this or can be ancillary to it or corollary to it, and how we can be better at what we do by learning from each other. So think of this as the first part of a conversation, but I'd love to hear the rest of the conversation from you. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's at like the at symbol, Meehan like my last name, and EDU like teaching, because I like teaching. So let's talk about Kami. If you've never played with it before, if you don't know what it is, if you're brand new to it, we'll walk you through from the brass tacks all the way to full implementation. Today, the goal of the podcast isn't about 10 minutes, to give you this idea that you can use this tool in your classroom as early as today, because it really is a quick study. And I do try to keep these podcasts always about only 10 minutes in length. So it's like one bite-sized item that you can put right in play in your classroom immediately. But as far as Kami goes, spelled K-A-M-I, Kami. Kami actually comes from the Japanese word for paper, or that's what the internet tells me. And it is a free extension, a free tool that talks nicely with the Google Drive that allows you as an educator to host a document online. Now, I know there's a million different services to host things online, so already you're like, all right, I'm out, no thanks. But stay with me. What's super cool about Kami is it takes any PDF you could possibly think to have, and PDFs are really the best format for Kami. That static version of that document is then posted to the Kami website. Again, it talks to your Google credentials. It's totally free, which is awesome. But you host that document online. You then get a link to your Kami for that document, and you have the ability to grant to anybody in the world, just by sharing that hyperlink, the ability to go into that shared document and make markups and annotations on the document however they see fit. And this is where Kami gets super, super cool. So let's say you're a teacher of science and you have a diagram or a chart of the last set of results from the lab that you ran. You could, as a Google Doc, have that Google Doc available for everyone in your classroom, and then expect students to like make comments, I guess, on a discussion forum, or perhaps grant them comment access to the original Google document. But especially in a science or a math class, that's sort of untenable in the way that you would think to communicate about that document, because in truth, you want to do drill downs of specific items of data. You're not as concerned with the art and elegance of their sentence construction or the format in which they're delivering that information. You want them to get down to brass tacks and point out the facts that they're seeing or not seeing in the data set provided. So in a Google Doc, what you would have to do is, I guess, students would right-click in the document anywhere they saw something, create a highlight, and then make a note, hey, here's what I'm seeing at this part of the conversation, or here's what I'm noticing in the data at this set. And then the students could, I guess, theoretically respond to one another in the comments thread on the right-hand side of the document online. But on a Kami, students can literally, like the NFL football commentators, do like a Telestrator version of what they're seeing. So they can circle elements right there in the document, like physically circle them, or underline things, or bust out the electronic version of a highlighter and highlight or color code different passages of what they're seeing. So as the data set is presented just as a big old spreadsheet, suddenly it's a marked up version of that data set, and like Johnny's comments are like with three circled areas here, and Susie's comments are three circled areas there. It likewise has the ability for them to create pop-up sort of post-it notes right there on the doc so that individuals can make individual comments or they can have a threaded conversation about any element in the data set, which is super cool because immediately you can see the application of this, not just in a science class, but really in any class you can think of. If you're a teacher of, let's say, literature and you have a poem, this would be easy for someone as young as, I would say, you know, maybe fourth or fifth grade. I guess if you really have tech-savvy kids, you might be able to push it a little younger. But if your students have device access, you take a copy of that poem, even something as you know, rudimentary as like a Shel Silverstein poem or a Dr. Seuss poem, you post it online. Now your students log in with their devices, and you can do this in class or as homework, and say, all right, guys, let's take a look at this document. Can anybody spot for me here an example of an end rhyme where two lines have the same sound at the very end? I do not like green eggs and ham. Thank you, Sam, I am, right? Am and Sam rhyme. Johnny could raise his hand and say, oh, I see it, and then tell you. And you as the teacher could circle it on the big board, or have Johnny come on up and grab the marker and circle it on the big board. But now using that device, every kid has a copy of that big board right there in their handheld device or on their laptop. And that's really, really cool. You can create a grid or sort of a rubric or an idea for how to annotate and say, all right, I need you to circle all the verbs. I need you to underline all the nouns. I need you to put a box around all the rhymes, a star next to any of the metaphors. And really anything that you can think to annotate or model on the big board, now students have handheld access to the same thing. And at a very rudimentary level then, every kid in class can see evidence of every other kid's learning, which is great. And then you as the teacher can get a feel for which students are interacting with their documents because you're teaching them how to annotate, how to do what a reader does or think like a reader would think as they're reading and interacting with a new or a previously unseen text, which is awesome. One of my favorite tricks for Cami in the classroom is simply presenting a document that's totally new to the whole class and just having us read it and discuss it together as we're doing it without any context. And just having students start to underline or annotate the type of things that they're starting to notice. And having an open discussion about, okay, at the end of 10 minutes, let's talk about the type of things we've noticed here. Read it silently and just mark up your annotations. You've effectively turned this flat document into an interactive forum for conversation. I'm dating myself a little bit, but as an adolescent or a teenager, I remember I used to watch VH1's pop-up video, right, where you'd watch like a Madonna video, and there'd be like these little pop-up factoids that would be telling you stories about how the video was made or all the different trivia pieces of information about Madonna. I couldn't get enough of that show. I thought it was so cool. Realizing now it's very like fourth wall breaking, very meta narrative. But I think what I liked about it is you're watching a story while you're watching another story. It's like listening to the director's commentary as you're watching your favorite movie played back. I remember as kids too, we would always buy DVDs, like these super deluxe editions, so you can get like the deleted scenes and the director's commentary. And most everybody would not ever listen to those director's commentaries, but they're great because you're having these people who helped create this thing tell you the story of how this thing was created. And it's like the author's notes are embedded right there in the document. So that can be really helpful when you use Cami in your classroom, because even at the high school level, working your way up through advanced classes like AP, for text analysis or for document-based questions, IB level classes or students who are at the senior level elective classes, you as the educator simply present the document to the class and say, all right, guys, we need to take this apart. Let's take a look at this Supreme Court ruling or this article from, you know, the Wall Street Journal, and let's figure out where its biases are. Let's feel where the author is coming from. You can blank out the name of the source that it arrives from because, again, anything you can use as a PDF, you can put there on the site. So maybe you grab something from Fox News and you put it up against something from MSNBC and you say, all right, let's see if we can identify the author's biases here. But it doesn't say Fox News and it doesn't say MSNBC. So students have to simply read into the words on the page and make annotations so they can get a sense of where these biases are emerging from and what words lead them to believe where their own understanding of the source text ends up coming from. I think that's great because the same tool that you can use at a very elementary level, you know, circle the nouns, can turn very quickly into this broader hyperdoc, one-stop shop. You just give everyone in class the link to document A and document B. And again, it can allow multiple page PDFs. You can even get a full novel as a PDF and host it right there. And then suddenly, as students are reading, like you're saying, hey, make annotations on your own printed copy of this, but come back into the master electronic version of the document and make three or four quality contributions, just things that you noticed, things that stood out to you. You know, go home and read this 5 to 10 page short story, making notes as you go, but I want to see the best of your notes make it into this master doc. How powerful that is, because it's using one another's comments to learn about the story, but it's also using evidence, that transparent look at one another's comments, to show what good readers do, to show what good scientists do, what good thinkers do, how we go about the process of taking apart unfamiliar, previously unseen texts. Because in the 21st century, so much of teaching is not just how much did you learn about topic X, it's using the skills that you have, how can you make sense of previously unseen thing Y? And that makes our jobs awesome. So that's it for this week. I would love to hear about how you're using Kami or any thoughts you might have on the same. Feel free to tweet at me, @mehanedu, and we'll be back with another episode next week. Thanks.